Hello?
It's
Hi,
all
Donna.
rolling, Lindsay. How are you?
Hi, okay. So we're holding here the Siv Emunah towards the end, I guess, not so much the end, but 1 second. The most important thing is that the quarter. I have the fear of Matisyahu Rosenblum upon me. Just figure out who.
We
We
were
were
in Reish Yud Aleph, somewhere around there.
in middle year, somewhere around there, about the different middles. Just 1 second. Okay, maybe a quarter. Okay, so it's actually working. Okay, it's supposed to go on automatically and actually did. Yeah, we're holding here the Vav Dvarim. I think we had, I don't know if we st did we start the Mashlim, the Vav Dvarim Mashlimim Sa'adam? Or did we start the paragraph Oyesh Bela Shisha Dvarim Shazacha Dvarim Amukim? I don't quite remember if we did it or not.
I think we were about there, the
Okay, I
six
think it
things
makes
of.
sense. Okay. So he's going back to the six things that he was. He's going back to the six things that. Who was the one that sets these six things? It's David HaMelech. David, Bo David, Amina Yud Aleph is one, and then
Think
it's
it's Yeshaya, was it?
right. Shayo was six things. Okay, but Oydeh Shalosh. So it's spoken about different in. Things connected, Devarim, and Ashlomos of Devarim. Now he has another Nakuda. Oydeh Shalosh Devarim Ashlimim HaOdom K'me Shedu. Me'ashokos, she'mo'uz be'einav ha'oishek, rak oimed be'atzmoi, u'midazay sidua. So he says like this. Let's go a little bit further in, then we'll go back a second. He's u'shloish rishonim, she'hem hoylech tzedakos, David Mishon Poel Tzedek, kulam him kinyan maila. So he's saying over here, what he's going to say is, there's going to be three things that are positive milas and three things that are drawing back from things he shouldn't. Now, like we said many times, it's just like when you in mathematics, when you have groups of numbers, you can keep reducing it for certain patterns. Like prime numbers, Fibonacci series, or all sorts of numbers that have a certain rhyme and rhythm. When you have six, we can do three on three. Three middos is usually the minimum that will be called middos. One is not a middo. So three is if when you crunch, when you squeeze the big picture together. You end up with three mahalchim, chesed and din, and a middle of mahalach. When you have six, you have it's like three unfolded, each one having a positive side and a negative side. There's a lashon for it. There's a lashon in the Zohar Kaddish that's used to describe. To describe the fetal position, and similarly, most significantly, at Korban Pesach, where it's Kirbal Krov that you roast the Korban Pesach like it would be a fetus. It's called it's the lashon, the framework, the phrase for it in the Zohar is. six meters coming out of three. In other words, 3 meters, when unfolded, is six. 6 meters tend to be the full complement of the meters of Hashpah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Ikar Tzuras Adam. If we want to look at more, there's 3 middos that are really Pchinas of Chachma. Chachma and Bina and Das, or Kesa Chachma and Bina, depending on how you figure it out. And Malchus is already the other. It's the woman to the man. And the person who's the Mashpia and the active one consists of 6 midas. Those are called Vav Ktsavos. And they are Chesed, Din, and Teferes as 3. And then you have Netzach HaYisoy. In a certain sense, those 6, when you fold them over, you get 3. So you have 3 midas, and I'll explain them each one. The person who doesn't take shochad, he noir kapov means he shakes his hands loose of holding on to shochad. That's connected holach tzakas. Why? Kize oiset tzakas noisen momen shaloi lacherim. So he says something very fascinating. The person who is the mushlam in midas hachesed also is someone who doesn't want for himself. The not taking shochat is the flip side of the emes in midas hachesed. If a person sees himself as a mashpia, then taking means he's not a mashpia. If somebody is oimer on the emes and akud of chesed, both sides of it are one and the same to him. The giving and the not taking. There was a yid in the Meir Yeshiva. He wasn't officially in the Meir Yeshiva, but his name was Reb Dov Sokolovsky. Reb Dov Sokolovsky was a son-in-law of the Mir Rav, of Avram Tzvi Kamai. He was a brother of Reb Leiz Yudel. In Yeshiva, in the Mir, he actually had a reputation of being a letz. He was very witty, very sharp, grammar and humorous. I don't know what happened, but when he came to Israel, he became a big kanoi. Very, very wonderful person. Big tzaddik, very erlich, but like very frum. And he lived down the block from the Mir. He was a very short man. He would occasionally drop in to learn, but most of the time he had a kol olam esharim. And most of the time, he was, he was just around, and he was a big bal chesed. Like anybody needed something, you asked him, he put his hand in his pocket and gave you something. And he was quite, very, very, didn't have any children. He was not a wealthy man. He was not known to have many possessions. And someone asked him once, Rav Dov, like, how do you like? He said, you have to make a decision. Are you on the intake or the output? He said, it's either or. And it's funny. I didn't, b'shaita, like, to me, it like seemed two separate midas. There's one midah of giving, one midah of being mestapek or whatever you want to call it. And they seem to come from two separate sources. He says, in the scheme of things, the person, and the truth is, on a deeper level, I want to talk about this, Nikuda. We think of a mistapik bemuad as someone, it's an issue of an ascetism of sorts. I don't need 2 apples, I can eat only 1 apple. I don't need to sleep on a very comfortable bed, I can sleep on a less comfortable bed. We look at it as either sort of a withdrawing from this world type of thing, or something along those lines. The truth is, there's a deeper nekuda to it, and I think this is the nekuda he's talking about. One of the reasons, yes, that there are certain things that having them is more comfortable. So a softer bed, let's say, or more apples it gives you more sensual pleasure. But at some point, the possessions don't, other than possessing it, you don't have anything out of it. A person who has four rooms, five rooms, six rooms has more living space than a person who has two rooms or three rooms. But a person who has a castle with 245 rooms doesn't have more living space. I venture to guess that many of those rooms he had never seen in his life. So what the person has is the sense of existence by virtue of possession. I am because, look, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. The person's sense of self is buttressed by his sense of having and possession. If a person's sense of self is, what have I done? What have I accomplished? Then it's not like that. If a person dies and he has a lot of brick rats around the house and stuff that nothing was done with, then the person feels he's missing something. I had another dozen things I could have done something with, and I didn't. There's a Gemara that I forgot who it was cried. He left over Kava de Marika. Kava Marika was a handful of vegetables that when he died, it was extra. He had it and he wasn't going to need it.
A race luckish, right?
And he said on it that he left over his chayil lazarim, that strangers ate up his, you know, he left over his. The sense was, what is mine? The things that I did / gave, or the things that I have. I'll go off topic, maybe on topic. I just remind myself this Sunday, this Shabbos actually is my brother's yahrzeit. It must be his yahrzeit, and I was speaking at a month or so afterwards. 2 months afterwards, I said a hesped in Atlanta. So one hesped I said in the Kaila, so it was that kind of people that were about to speak. The other one was in a Kiruv shul, a wonderful Kiruv community called Dunwoody. It's in a place that everybody, it's called Ariel the shul. It's a place called Dunwoody. It's just everything. Everybody's a Kiruv there. And I walked into the room. I looked around, and I said, "These people won't even begin to understand." I mean, there was very little I could describe of a yeshiva, of learning, of things of that nature, in a way that would make any sense to them. So I picked two things to talk about that I felt they could relate to, and one of them was, I said over the Chazal, it's a medrash in Kohelis that it says Toiv Yoy Moisa Mi Yoy Mi Volde. The day of death is better than the day of birth. So Chazal gave a mashal that there was a new ship was being launched in a harbor, in a port, and everybody was standing around in awe, watching it glide off on its maiden voyage. And then an old ship was limping back in for its for its last voyage, and nobody's paying attention. The ship was scarred, limping, had holes in it, barely holding together, and people didn't pay much attention to it. So there was a Chacham Echad said that, look at these people, look how silly they are. The ship that's newly launched, no one really knows where it's going, what's going to happen with it, and why are they so happy? The ship that came back, it's completed its mission. It's schlepped in so much stuff and so many people and so on and so forth, and it's mission accomplished. So the feeling I wanted to convey was, you know, Reb Nosson Tzvi physically, coupled with the fact that he had this tremendous stress of everything on him. By the time he passed away as a relatively young person, was basically a shadow. There was very little left of him. And people looked at him and I said, the American mentality is that you have an endless amount of advertisements for people at the age of 80 to look like they're 18. And I said, it it's such a Goyish way of looking at beauty. I said, what beauty is there in somebody who at the age of 80 looks like he's never lifted a finger in his life, never worried a day, never cried, never lifted something? That's a very, very, it's not beautiful at all. But a person at 80 where it looks like, you know, he had carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. His shoulders are worn out from the weight he's carried. His eyes are sore from the tears that he shed. His brow is in a perpetual furrow from thinking and worrying. Those are signs of tremendous beauty. 80 years worth of accomplishment. You know, we I mean, it's such a shallow and pressed view of beauty and life and purpose. You know, and I said, you know, as difficult it was to see, but on the other hand, you know, every single cell in his body had been used up. It had a worthy, so upon him, a person's life can come from the perspective of the doing for the other versus the possessing. The Midas HaChesed sees it one way, and then the taking would be the opposite of it. And that's why one is the opposite of the other. One. Two, he says, O'Keneged Deiver Mesharim, Zaha Oitim Ozla. Yes.
How is that Keneged Netzach?
If you're looking, so Netzach is the Mida of, you know what, let me finish this and then we'll go back to it. I just don't want to dance on two things in one shot. Let's finish all three and then we'll go back to and use more the more Mefurish terminology. Ushleisha achronim him achot, yeah, so he says next. O'Keneged Deiver Mesharim Zaha Oitim Oznoi, Ki Mishu Deiver Mesharim Lo Yuchol Ishmoya Domim Sheyeh Mash Mevayesh Mezal Shein Roi Lezeh. Vezeh Betachlis HaRichuk Min HaYoyshe Kasha Shoma Bezilus Mitzur Rabbanam. The second Mida is, on the one hand, Deiver Mesharim, and Zeicha Oitem Oznoi, which is B'tach Zarichik Mina Yoisha. I want to discuss this one. This is obviously against it's Keneged the Mida, the middle Mida, which is the Ferris, which is Yashrus, and so on. Both of them, obviously, in a certain sense, are Zelumaseh. We're talking about Dibur and Shmia. I want to just make it a little more specific as to how that comes in with this Yosher and so on. Why the pen and so on. I think we once spoke about before about Dibur and the following context. Lamashal, let's say a person has everybody has many facets. What this person is going to be summed up in a caption. I'm going to describe him. And however I name him, just like Adam HaRishon, however he named the animal, that was its name. If I describe a person with a word, the term, with a sentence, with any dibur, then I affix that as the person's metzias. It exists beforehand, but it doesn't. For instance, let's say I have a bed, and the bed's not terribly comfortable. So I can say it's in my bed, and say, oh, it's a little more comfortable, less comfortable. I can say this is a torture cell, and once I label it as something, it gets on that metzias. The koach of dibur is to define someone or something in a way that becomes its primary metzias. So if I always give a much I speak about the answering people about shidduchim. Let's say, you know, and you're supposed to tell the truth, and it's important to tell the truth. But what you need to really think long and hard about is the words you use. For instance, let's say somebody is very careful about the money he spends. You can describe that as he's a cautious, thrifty person, or you can describe him as a cheap square. Both of them are describing a person who thinks a lot before he spends the money. But one of them sounds positive. One of them, people will be happy to say, I want somebody very thrifty and cautious. Nobody will say, I want somebody cheap, stingy, square is a terrible denial. Why? Because the defining, it's how I sum up the total. And what's the picture I make out of all the pieces? And that's why in Shidduchim, it's important to tell, you know, if somebody loves to sort of go happy-go-lucky with his money, and somebody else is very cautious and you know, it's not going to work well. It's going to be problems. But if you tell somebody this person is stingy, then there's nobody in the world who wants to buy somebody stingy. There are some people that like somebody who's cautious or thrifty, and some don't. That's fine. So the Koyach HaDibur, it's the Koyach HaMtzoi, the mouth is in the middle of the person, and that is the Mida of defining things. And the opposite of that would be defining something in a negative way. Now, let's see one more. The other one is V'zocha oitzim eina m'ois rov v'ashishi u'pirish b'zeh she'eina m'stakel b'noshim b'shah sha'imdois ala k'visa ki k'neged m'sh'oma m'oyez v'betzim m'ashokois z'ocha oitzim eina m'roh v'roh she'eina m'stakel b'noshim sha'imdois ala k'visa sh'ugan k'dobah mo'a sh'eva v'ovan v'zeh. So here he says, he just says on the moyes bebetza meshokos, he goes quite made up in raw, doesn't quite describe why one has to do the other. I don't know where that's kosher. He says I don't know why that would be the zelo myself that. He said before the Moyes Stokers. I don't know if there's some problem with the print, and I haven't been able to work this one out just because of something wrong that way he phrased it. It says there's the Holach Tomim, there's Dave Emes Bovavoy, and then it says Leinos al Kroivoy, the Cheplos al Kroivoy. I don't know, I'm not sure here if there's not a mistake or not, because it seems to be going back to something I said before. Balkoponim. The point about the Zohar, the point about the Yoisha being Zilusa Tzor Rabbanan is exactly the same thing about is the Hefech of speaking good. The person who defines and this is the Musik of speaking Zilusa Rabbanan means that the person doesn't. A Talmud Chacham whose Iker is Torah can have chesronos, but a person needs to see it in terms of a chisorin on something good, as opposed to a perich on the Iker thing. For us, the reason why people tend to speak zilusa in Talmud Chachamim is because they don't. It's a convenient way to knock the tzur of a Talmud Chacham. When a person speaks Lashavar about a Talmud Chacham or Talmud Chachamim, the reason why a person is so loath to do it is because, A, most everybody feels guilty he's not a Talmud Chacham. Most everybody does not like to take any marching orders from a Talmud Chacham. So the person... The only way to do it is to say, well, Talmidei Chachamim are really not wholesome people. It's sort of a way to knock the whole concept of a Talmud Chacham as being a Tzuras Adam that's Chashuv by saying, yeah, they're all full of it, this and that. The special Yitzhar to speak about Talmidei Chachamim is if you look at it, the people who this is what they do is it's a way of getting rid of the need to acknowledge Al Kochim and or to be mechayiv themselves to learn. So Zilus Rabban is exactly the right description of why that's the opposite. There's something wrong with the gears I can't figure out. He's going back to the previous pasuk, and I'm not sure what he means over here. I'd like to... okay. Now, going back to the point that he raised before about how this is connected, Netzach, this thing, Yehoid, and so on, which is obviously what he's doing. Let's first go slowly with what these things are. I just want to go back a second. According to this Cheshm, the not mistakel b'noshim shashayim sal kvisa should have been kineged. Sorry, that is connected from Elisha. He doesn't describe it how that's different. So I'm not sure the Moyes Bebetzim Ashokos versus Ner Kapof Meshoychad. I think looking at now, I think it might be like this. And again, that's something here amiss, but I think it's like this. Noyer Kapov Mitmeich B'Sheichad, that is connected to the Midrash Avraham, like we said before, because he's trying to get something, he's trying to get to be a taker instead of a giver. The Moyes Bebetzim Ashokos, going to Rabbi Shmuel and Elisha, so what he disliked was the taking something from the person unjustifiably. As opposed to Sheichad, which the person paying it is usually quite pleased to pay it. The person in Oishek, you talk about taking something shaloi kedin. The taking something shaloi kedin in the same way that Oishek is an absolute it's an absolute disregard for midas adin. The flip side of it, I could possibly think is that it says the musig of an isha that a person has illicit relations. The Gemara says by Yosef Atzadik that ein of leisholta b'masha ein shaloi. Therefore, you could eat kachim by shiloi in koloroya because it's connected the ayin of Yosef that it wasn't sholit b'masha ein shaloi. The not looking at someone else's wife is a way of not being nana from something that's not yours. So I could see that kesher. It doesn't quite say it, doesn't explain it. And it's something missing here. But kaponim, those are three nekudos. Going back to what you asked before, let's first describe them and then we'll have a sense. The two midas of Netzach and Hoid are they are the tactic in how to realize the midas before. Netzach is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things very straightforwardly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests his hanhaga and his shechina. Hoid is where, and that's how he accomplishes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu just sort of parks the curtains and marches straight forward. Abchinas nitzuach. Whereas Hoyd is a midah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu retreats, he does a practical retreat and allows for something else to seemingly contradict him, to seemingly edge him out, so to speak, and in the end, it still gets his way. So the midahs of Netzach and Hoyd are tactical midahs. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifesting, and the other one HaKadosh Baruch Hu drawing back. The relationship to the first two, to Chesed and Gevurah, are in this way, in the following way. The Netzach is the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeming to expand his domain, seeming to reach out and spread out. Whole seems as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is drawing back, drawing in, which is Eza Giba Kevish Es Yisrei, the Pchinas Gebura by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzamtzim himself. So those are the ways in which those midas are used. So Netzach and Hod are sort of extensions of those two midos. The Yisod being connected to Feres is in a different way. The mida that every person in himself, before he speaks out, before he does, before he passes on a legacy or whatever it is, has to arrange his bits and pieces in a way that that comes to a certain crystallization. The person you need to be, if I have some ideas, but they haven't resolved themselves in my mind, there is no way that I can pass it on to the next stage. There's no way that I can even influence anybody or even just communicate it to them. In order to be able to pass it on, it needs to have reached its correct tzura. So the mida that allows for something to move onwards, what gives something the finality of what allows something to become the seed for the next generation is the finality of the first one. If you want to look at something fascinating, it is in halacha, a person is a gadol when there are simanim that he is now capable of reproduction. That's strange. I mean, it doesn't seem to us that reproduction should be the kriveh of a person is godless. The answer is the teva, the tzura that Kadosh Baruch Hu stamped in the Bria was that things would not reproduce until they're not final themselves. You can't reproduce something that doesn't have its metzias yet. When something has its metzias, it is now capable, and now it has what to reproduce. So if my ideas have become crystallized and gotten to their final tzura, I can now give it over. So the mida, so when a person is capable of having children, it is a sign that the person's own metzias has reached a certain stage of finality. That's why it goes like that. There's one, I mean, it's fascinating. In Brisk, Rav Chaim and the Briska Rav, they did not, they would not publish until they died. And the reason was, I'm trying to give over something to other people, because it might be to Ellis. If I haven't finalized it yet, then how can I give it over? I mean, if I made a mistake, or it's not quite the way I thought it was, or it's whatever, and it's not final until it's final, until the person that this is it. This is my last and best way of understanding X, Y, or Z. I remember just the guy, there was somebody, the one who's one of the deans of Torah College, learned by Soloveitchik NYU, who's Briska Masora, and when they came to accredit the college, they asked him, what are your publications? And this person said, our tradition is that we publish only posthumously. So they looked at him like kind of a little stunned. And the guy was bright. He said, oh, I get it. It's perish, then publish. You know, based on the famous thing, it's publish or perish. He said, I guess your motto is perish, then publish. But I could put in the svara behind it was, I mean, it's only when it's final by me. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the Torah on the day that's final by him. When his life is finalized, that's it. It's capped. Now I can present you a final picture. So I can put in, those are the three keneged, the three. Exactly.
Maybe,
Yes.
You know, so some people that write publications because it's good for their limud.
Yeah.
It's also in the getter, no?
Well, it's you know, writing your own notes for your own limud is fantastic, but why do other people have to suffer from it? That's another issue. So you're publishing something. And I always wondered. I mean, you know, I read sometimes Torah or Shuvas, which is this, and then I found a sefer that says differently. So I think this is the right shot. So sometimes that has a validity. For instance, when I write a Shtickel Torah, and there's a simple approach that should be your first approach, and it's only because there are problems with that approach that you must say something a little deeper and a little different, so there's validity in presenting, listen, L'chura we should learn like this and this and this, this seems to be the most reasonable approach, but if we have these needs and these problems, and Bal Karcha we're going to have to learn it differently. But sometimes I get this type of thing of this, and then I saw this, and I realized this or that. So why do I have to know your mistakes? I mean, why is that significant? So when you're learning for yourself is one thing, but learning for the other, I think, is not... you know, when you're publishing, you're doing it because you want to give it over to somebody else. And if it's not final by you, how can you give it over to somebody else? I guess that was sort of the thought process behind it. Well, I wouldn't know how to fit them exactly with these things, but Akoponim, that's generally how the Netzach Mahayid and Yisoid would work connected the other meters. And then he says, he said, Micha was Maim Nashleisha, and he's going to continue on the simple Metzias of those three. We don't have time now. But, you know, he's going to go through those three again, the way we said. And, okay. Next week, I'm not going to be here. We have a wedding, actually, in France. One of our Talmidim is getting married. But then the week after the Blessed Hashem. So next week, it's not. But then after the Blessed Hashem, we'll should be pretty smooth sailing.
All right,
Yishukach.
Okay. Yishukach.
Good job.
Okay.